Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanksgiving Saturday morning, Thanksgiving weekend Saturday morning. I hope everybody had a terrific Thanksgiving. You enjoyed everything you ate, which I did, and I will tell you about it. But there's so many other things to talk about, and one is this, and it's hard to say with the NFC East as putrid as it is, and as bad as it is, but is this the end for the Eagles? If they don't win on Monday, the end of hopes for a season. And I know there's many people out there that don't think there's a lot of hope. And we know that the teams in the NFC East are not good football teams. Not right now. The Washington Redskins won, and the score wasn't indicative of how close the game was, but the Cowboys suck. So the Redskins beating them, it should not be impressive to anybody. Although, right now, the Redskins are in first place in the NFC East. If the Giants win tomorrow, they would be in first place because they've beaten the Redskins twice. But they would both be ahead of the Eagles because the Eagles would be in third place, which is amazing. However, if the Eagles win on Monday night against Seattle, and right now they're 5.5-point underdogs, if they win on Monday night, they are back in first place. And in the words of Al Michaels, just think about this. Well, I don't think it would quite be a miracle, in the words of Al Michaels. Do you believe in miracles? So I won't go to the miracle stage, although some people think it would be a miracle if the Eagles beat Seattle on Monday. One of the things that you have to remember, not that the Eagles are that good right now, and they've made some changes on the offensive line because Lane Johnson is now out for the year. He's going to have surgery again, but his ankle has really been bothering him, so he's out for the year. Jason Peters moves to right guard, and Mailata is at left tackle. But it's not quite a miracle, but people, I know there's many, and you're still Eagles fans, whether you can't stand what they're doing, you know they're not a good football team right now, whatever it is, there's still hope by many Eagles fans that they win. And if they win, they're back in first place. You can't say, even though you know if they make the playoffs, they're not going to a Super Bowl. And it's just reality. I mean, let's be honest. Even though the NFC, the whole conference is not great this year, tell me Is there one really good team? Is there one really good team? No, there isn't one really good team. Nobody's really good. So if the Eagles make the playoffs, you think, oh, okay. There would always be that hope that something could happen. The reality says nothing will happen. But there's still a chance they make the playoffs. I think the Giants have the easiest schedule of the teams in the division. I think the Eagles have the hardest schedule. But Seattle, I don't know why. I think they actually have a chance, but we'll talk about that today. So there's other things I want to talk about. What's left for this Eagles season? I mean, what do you really hope for? If you were the general manager of this team, what would you do? And it's hard to do anything now, but I'm sure people would have things to say now. What would you do? And what would you do after the season? I think it's a joke to even pay attention to the tweets by a couple of the Seahawks players, you know, talking about Carson Wentz. I mean, give me a break. Give me a break. They're just, I love athletes. Athletes can't keep themselves off Twitter to say stupid, ridiculous things. So we'll talk about the Eagles this morning, obviously, as the Pittsburgh Steelers in Baltimore game has been moved now and twice. It's moved the second time till next Tuesday, from Thursday to Sunday to Tuesday. The COVID situation in sports is really serious right now. And I still think there's people out there that don't really think it's as serious as it really is. There's positive tests all the time. All the time. Every day it seems like there's a new positive test in the NFL. And college is, I think there's like 18 games that are either canceled or postponed this weekend. Ohio State last night, because not only did the head coach test positive, but there were a few of the players that tested positive. So they just they canceled their game. That game, I think, is just canceled. I don't think they can reschedule it. There's no time. Canceled. They were going to win the game, but they want the game for their wins. Just like Cincinnati wanted their game against Temple because they would have crushed them today. But it's a serious situation. All right. Today, we also, as we do on Saturdays, have a DeBruno Brothers gift certificate, $100 gift certificate to give away to people. And here's a couple of things that we'll take. The Deion Sanders talked about the Carson Wentz situation. Like, does he know what's going on here? No, but he thinks he knows everything. I like the way Deion played. I like his bravado. But now I think he's a complete moron and a complete jerk, and he's disgusting anytime you hear him. So the most hated athletes that you can think of, the most hated, and just because it's Thanksgiving weekend, and there might be a few, the most memorable Thanksgiving sporting event that you can remember, both of them. And I'll choose from one or the other to have you win a $100 gift certificate from DeBruno Brothers, DeBruno.com, five locations. And I will tell you later, I had the most, it was one of the most sensational, because Thanksgiving, I am really a turkey fan. I got a catered meal, which I know a lot of people, they reached their capacity for catering for Thanksgiving. It was one of the best dinners, Thanksgiving dinners, that I've had. It was sensational. I was stuffed. And I had that dinner again last night because I had leftovers. It was so good. And I enjoyed it just as much last night. But, and, you know, people can cater their dinners and do whatever for their businesses. But they did it for Thanksgiving. You can do it for family gatherings. But whatever, $100 gift certificate today. And you've got what we will judge the most hated or the most memorable. We'll go with both of them. Thanksgiving event. All right, let's. I'm going to take a phone call first. Who is that? Matt is already in. Oh my God! I don't even know why I'm doing this. Matt, what do you have for us today, Matt?
Oh, good morning, Howard, and happy belated Thanksgiving. I was going to have an opportunity to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving and your Thanksgiving dinner and whatever it was that you had.
Yes, Howard, I did. And why do you have to be so doom and gloom when you want to talk to me, man? I mean, I'm a bubbly kind of guy.
Yeah, I know you are. Actually, you are. I know if I miss you this morning, I'll hear you on one of the shows later today.
That's besides the point, Howard. All right.
yeah, I'm sure.
the GM question, Howard, that's intriguing to me, and I'd like to give it a shot.
I mean, there's not one thing, but what would you do? It's just they obviously need to really fix some things, and unfortunately, I'm not sure whether you can do it in a year. Although, if the quarterback gets better, then everything changes.
Well, Howard, so here's the thing. I think they need to do two things that they can do right away. They got to cut some of these high-priced older player salaries. They got to dump some of these guys.
Well, they will do that. And why don't you run down what high-priced salary players you
Fletcher want. Cox.
I don't think you can do that. I think his cap hit. See, it's easy to say to do
right.
it. I don't think, because he can still play, but if he made less money, you'd be okay with it, right?
Right. Well, no. Okay. No, I think he needs to go.
He's still a good player, but he's inconsistent. I will say that. He's inconsistent.
All right. Alshon and Deshaun.
Well, they're both going to go. You know that. Right. I mean, that's easy. All right. That's easy. I mean, we know they're going to go.
And Howard, I know you don't like this, but the other thing is we got to move Carson. We got to move away from. We got to get away from his contract.
And how do you do that with the cap hit? The cap hit is humongous. It would be like $30-some million next year.
Well,
I think is.
You don't think we can trade him? You don't think there's a possibility?
No, because you still get hit with the cap.
Maybe we get some cap relief from the team we trade him to.
No, that I don't think you can do that. Because you've technically already paid him, I guess, in a signing bonus, the way it works. No, it's not that easy in the NFL. Because you pay the guys in bonuses to try to spread it out over years. No, you still get hit with the cap hit. You still get hit with the cap. He's got to be here next year. I don't know how he can't be here next year. And I'm still going to give him the rest of the season. And you don't have a quarterback. Don't tell me Jalen Hurts. We have no idea what he can do. None.
That's the point, Howard. We don't have an idea. I mean, you can't say no, and I can't say yes. We don't have an idea.
Well, I know one thing. He's a rookie. He wasn't rated as one of the top quarterbacks. He was a terrific player at Oklahoma, but he ran the football a lot. He's got a strong arm. But can he play in the NFL? We don't know that.
Right.
We don't
now,
know
Howard,
that.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If the Eagles is finishing with a top five draft pick this year, if you were the GM, would you draft a quarterback?
Yes, I would, actually. Depending on who it was, depending on who you could get there. And we know that everybody thinks of Trevor Lawrence, and then there's the quarterback from Ohio State. The quarterback from Florida, I haven't seen enough of them, but they put up numbers.
Right,
and,
they do.
They put up a lot of numbers, and I think he's a good quarterback. But I don't know if he would be the third in line. There's probably some other quarterbacks, and off the top of my head, I can't think of them. But if you could get Trevor Lawrence and the quarterback from Ohio State, Fields, I think I would do it.
Do you trust Howie Roseman to draft properly a top five draft pick next year if that happens?
Well, if it's a quarterback, I think the choices are already made for you before you even go into it. Now, if the Jets are number one, I don't know what it would take to get into number one, but I would seriously think about trying to make a trade with the Jets. If you're top five, it probably won't take that much. It will take something. It's going to take some draft picks over years, and I don't know that the Eagles will want to do it. But,
what about Carson Wentz? Do the Jets be interested in him?
No. Nope. They're not. No. No, I'm telling you, you can't, Matt, you cannot trade Carson Wentz because of the cap hit.
Well, it's really, I'm really sure difficult. There's a way to get creative with it, Howard. There's never say never.
I don't think so. It's too soon to when you signed it. No. You can get away with it. You can trade him, but you're going to take a $30-some million cap hit next year. You want to do that?
Well, if
for
I can
a player
trade,
you don't even do, have? For a player you don't even have?
If I can move on from Carson Wentz and get the number one overall pick next year, maybe
okay.
I do.
And what happens if he has a good game on Monday night? You still trading him?
Yeah, Howard, come on. He is not. He's never going to be the quarterback we thought he was going to be.
No,
he's never going to
be. I'm
not
sure.
Way.
You know what? It's really difficult to think that he's going to be that quarterback from 2017 again, and I agree with that part of it. However, I just can't believe he can go from being that good to being what he is right now. I just can't believe it. And I don't know what the reason is for it. It could be confidence. I have no idea what it is. But I'm not, I want to get through this season first. And then if you get through this season and you see it hasn't changed, because they're not playing great defensive teams the rest of the year. So we'll see what he does. All right,
yeah,
Matt.
I have a Thanksgiving sports moment, even though I can't win. I do have a Thanksgiving sports thing, if I could. It's got to be Leon Lett in the Cowboy-Dolphin game.
When he touched the football after the missed field goal.
I remember watching that live. And,
yeah, that was that was actually pretty memorable, because we remember it. All right, Matt, thanks. Thanks for the call. That was an interesting one. And I know there's ready people. So what would you do if you were the GM? What would you do? The other thing that I want to talk about, well, I want to deal with Doug Peterson's comment from the other day. And Doug is speaking today. Normally he does it on Friday, but the schedule's backed up because the game's on Monday. He has his normal Zoom conference, as we call him now. And I'm sure the question will come up from somebody. Is Carson Wentz still going to start on Monday? I'm sure that question will come up. And then I'll ask about the offensive line. But the comment he made, and we'll play it, and you probably heard it. That leads me to believe that there was and there could be some thought about at some point just throwing Jalen Hurts in there, maybe not in a game, but maybe to start a game. We'll talk about it when we come back, and I'll play Doug's comment. We'll talk about all that when we come back. 215-592-9494. Best Thanksgiving sports moment and the most hated, despised athletes that you can think of. And the best one will win a DeBruno Brothers $100 gift certificate. You could use that towards maybe a catered meal for yourself at some point. 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin on a Thanksgiving Saturday. WIP Sports Time is now 8:18. And if you're in the restaurant business, hospitality business, or the casino business is also part of it. I think you want to listen, because I would suggest that you talk to my friends at PDQ Signature Systems. They are the best. In this new era of food service, it's more important than ever to have all the solutions available to take your dine-in services outside, especially now, with curbside pickup, contactless delivery, custom online ordering, and mobile tablets that are actually designed for rugged restaurant use. Everything that you need for success, and that includes the best POS system in the marketplace. And that's what PDQ offers. PDQ POS is the fastest POS, it's the easiest POS, and it's the only POS you will ever need. Whether you have a single location restaurant or you have thousands of locations, PDQ is going to help you sell more. And it's important because they're going to help you save more. Joe Flynn, terrific guy, terrific team at PDQ, have been helping businesses just like yours for over 30 years. Trust me, if you want the best, trust PDQ POS. That's PDQPOS.com. Tell them the King sent you. 94 WIP on a Thanksgiving Saturday morning. I do want to mention, and I had put it on my website, I thought it was a good bet with a live dog. I put picks on my website each week, and it was a good bet to take Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson. And yes, you could bet on it, and they were like a plus 145 underdog. That was a good bet because, number one, Phil's a pro. All right. And even though Steph Curry thinks he's all that playing golf, please, it's night and day between these athletes from other sports that think they can play golf and can actually play at the level. Just because you're what you might call a scratch golfer. And his brother Seth, when he talked to the media, I asked him the question. Oh, he played a couple of rounds and he shot under par both rounds. Yeah, really, please spare me, will you? It's a little different when you see him playing with a pro. But Charles Barkley held his own. And I thought that was the Mickelson-Barkley team. I really thought that was a good live dog. And that match was easy. They killed him. Now, Phil was an important part of it. But Charles has got to put the ball in play, which he did. His game has gotten a lot better. I got to give him credit. For anybody, and I don't know how many people watched it because it was football on yesterday, but I watched quite a bit of it. And you know, you want to hear what Charles says between holes because they had him all mic'd up. But he hit some good shots. He hit it down there off the first tee. That's the hardest one. Hit it right down the middle of the fairway. So that was easy. That bet was, if you bet that, that would have been easy. All right, this week on Thursday. Doug Peterson, had to be Thursday, right? No, it couldn't have been Thursday. It had to be Wednesday because they had Thursday off. Wednesday, Doug Peterson spoke. Pretty sure it was Thursday. Wednesday. It was Wednesday. And he was asked, he kind of brought up a little bit of the quarterback situation and different things that happened with teams and blah, blah, blah. And then he was asked about the quarterback. And this is the only reason that leads me to believe that something was either thought about or could happen, not for Monday, but at some point in the future. All right, listen to Doug. I don't know why he wavered. Just say Carson's your starter because you weren't going to change because you know going into practice who your quarterback's going to be when you start your practice for the week because the second-string quarterback just doesn't get that many snaps. That's another problem, to think that Jalen Hurts is going to come in. He can't just come in during a game because the offense can't be the same. Whether he's practiced on the scout team and he goes against the Eagles' defense, it's not running the Eagles' plays. So, but I don't know why did he waver? I think Doug's too worried about offending people. You can't worry about offending people. And you can't worry about offending people if you're going to criticize players, too. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Paul. Paul over there in Downingtown.
Good morning, Howard.
How you doing?
So I'm dealing with some Eagles anger, actually. I find
Why would that
really
be? Why would you be angry?
I was a real buyer on the new norm, and I feel fooled because I now feel like the Eagles are the worst team in a bad division, or at least the only team in a bad division where the needle's clearly pointing down.
You know, it's amazing when people make comments, they bring them up quite a bit. The new norm, I think, was the year after they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So that was 2 years ago. It's like at one point, Jeffrey Lurie said the Eagles were the gold standard from what he was told by, and he said other owners told him, and I forget what the reasons were for it, but that comment will live forever. And it sometimes you are, and then sometimes you're not. And the new norm, you would think, I think everybody thought the same thing. But go ahead. It's just, but those things happen.
They do, and it's just really frustrating. I feel like I was given a bill of sale and I bought it. So maybe the person I'm angry at is
actually,
myself.
Actually, the new norm was stated during the parade.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I just, what I saw from an organizational standpoint was a team with a quarterback on a rise, a coaching staff that every week in its scripted plays found a way to put their players in a position to take advantage of the base defense or to get a matchup, you know, to get Zach Ertz on the safety. And then the in-game adjustments, they always had something after halftime. And this stuff related to big plays, points, crucial first downs. All that has been absent, you know, kind of since the Super Bowl. And there's so much that, you know, from a drafting standpoint, from, you know, just getting NFL coachable guys to get guys that have NFL talent, talent development. So, you know, I'm unhappy with the entire coaching staff, you know, this side of Deuce Staley.
So why is Deuce Staley excluded?
The reason I think Deuce is excluded, because I can look at the running back core and the running backs that he's had in the time he's been in Philadelphia, and I can say, okay, he's made hay. You know,
So in other words, you're looking at players that are good. Miles Sanders is a stud. All right. So Deuce Staley's okay because he's got a stud. Does the wide receiver coach have studs? Does the defensive back coach have studs, other than Darius Slay? Does he have studs? So do they have? The offensive line coach is one of the best. Jeff Stoutland is one of the best in football. Has the offensive line on the whole for all the games, the entirety? Have they had a good season? I would say no. I would say they were okay. But because it comes down to players. So then you look at the head coach. Do you think it's Doug Peterson's fault that Carson Wentz, for whatever reason, seems to lack confidence when he's out there on the field? Is that Doug's fault? And when you say the scripted plays, well, the scripted plays must have been pretty good against Cleveland, and then Miles Sanders fumbles the football. And if you look at some of the games, they have gotten off to early starts on the scripted plays. So his play calling there, but then the quarterback, for whatever reason, doesn't keep it up. I don't know what it is. You can't always blame the coaches for the player's lack of ability on the field. Not the lack of ability, that's the wrong word, for their lack of execution on the field. Are the wide receivers running all the right patterns? Is the quarterback making all the right reads? Is the offensive line doing all the right things? There's so many things that go into a successful play on a football team, and I'm not saying it's all the players, because everybody has to share in the whole thing, but the players have to do it. And they make the coaches look good. Do you think Barry Switzer was a good coach?
No, I understand. And that's what's great about
football. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl with Jimmy Johnson's players. It's a joke. It's a joke. There's some coaches that are complete dopes. Complete dopes. Yet they win because they have great players.
That's true. And that's a great and complicated dynamic of football. You know, it's more than any other team sport. It is reliant on the play of your teammates. But yeah. I do hold coaches responsible for execution. Now, maybe that's just because I only played through high school and I only coached at a smaller level. But I do. Like, I put that kind of execution issues. When you have receivers that run through the zone instead of sitting down in the pocket, I put that on positional coaches
football. Let me address that. Do you think the coaches don't coach them to do that?
I think that they do, but they
well, if they do, then why? And the players don't do it. One time when you get on the, it's different. In baseball, they call it chalk fever. It's easier on the foul side of the baseball, the foul lines on the baseball field to when you go on the field. It's easier to, oh yeah, I can do this, and you do it in warm up games and exhibition games and. But when you go into the real game, it's a whole different thing. I'm not saying it's all the players, but a lot of this year, if the quarterback was better, don't you think the Eagles would have at least two more wins?
I think that if there's you could say that about almost anything.
I'm asking you a simple question.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because
the first game
of
the season, they were up 17-0 on Washington. If the quarterback played better, they would have won that game.
Yes.
If the quarterback played better, and I can't remember all the games because some of them were so bad, they would have at least another win. So instead of what do they have? Six losses. Instead of six losses, they'd have four losses, and then they'd have five wins, and so they'd be a plus 500 team.
I think if you look at it like this, Howard, the organizational failure. I think you look at the Eagles, you see
well, that's a problem
organizational
too.
Failure, and that has to go top down. Responsibility for that has to go top down.
There's no question.
The employee for failures in management. You know what I mean? And I see failures across the board, and so that's why, like, Carson is definitely like the triumvirate of issues. The GM, the coach, and the quarterback. I put the quarterback last, and the other two guys in front of them.
You got to have players.
But all of them are a problem.
And the drafts. You've gotten some good players, but you have not gotten enough good ones.
And there's too many good ones that we didn't take. That's the other issue. It was guys that were on the board.
Everybody has that. All right, do you have a hated player?
I do, and maybe this is too close to Philadelphia, you know. But this guy, I hate him because he was a headhunter and he changed and ended the careers of Hall of Fame caliber NHL players. The guy I hate the most is Scott Stevens for what he did to Eric Lindros and Paul Kariya. I can't stand the guy. Headhunter extraordinaire. I hate him.
For hockey fans, Scott Stevens,
he's not
a bad one. I mean, there's probably better ones in hockey, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in there. I'm going to take your name, but I don't think you're going to win because I think if you actually go in the sport of hockey, there's going to be ones that are better than him.
It's probably a little personal to my fandom.
I appreciate the call and have a great rest of this Thanksgiving weekend. All right. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Howard, how was that the Bruno Brothers turkey dinner?
It was it was not just a turkey. The sides were great. The apple crumb pie. I nibble. I couldn't eat it all. I mean, it's a pie, so I nibble at it multiple times during the day. I had that dinner between the turkey, the cauliflower au gratin. I mean, string beans.
I like vegetables.
Between the string beans, the sweet potato, mashed sweet potatoes. The stuffing was terrific, but I've had that dinner now two nights in a row, and it was sensational both nights.
I'm going to have to use my gift cards pretty soon to go over there and get some of that good stuff then.
Well, you can get – I was stopped over at the store down on 1730 Chestnut, and they were following all the right rules with the COVID situation, only letting a certain amount of people in, but it was packed. People were lined up on the street. But you can actually get catered meals for small family functions, for business functions. It was delicious. But go ahead. What was your question?
Well, first of all, I agree with that prior caller. That Devils player, he was a dirty player, but he won't win. But he was Scott Stevens. He's kind of a dirty player.
Yes, he was.
Hey, as far as the Eagles, and I can't win today, but I have a great Thanksgiving sports moment. But the Eagles, all these callers who want Doug fired, you know, 3 years ago, I heard people, if you give me a Super Bowl, I'll give you my firstborn child. Yeah. He won a Super Bowl, played in two playoff games years right in a row. Yeah, he's not having a good year, and he has press conference the other day sucked. But he's going to get a Pasadena for at least one more year, so everybody out there got to get over it.
Well, yeah, the players, the coaches sometimes are responsible, and they make mistakes, but the players have to execute. The players
he's not throwing the ball for Carson. Carson's doing those interceptions on his own.
Yeah, and Carson's not doing a good enough job. There's no question.
I got a great sports moment, Howard. I remember because I watched the game, and you and I are about
sports moment
the same
on
age.
Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving,
yes.
Okay.
1974, Clint
that's too far
Longley.
Back, but go ahead. Yeah,
Clint
I know.
Longley comes in the third quarter.
I know.
Redskins
it's legendary.
Are down, I think, 16-7, and he throws over 300 yards in a quarter and a half, and the Redskins upset the Cowboys. This guy came in, he looked like Johnny Unitas.
Wait a minute, he played for the Cowboys.
No, he played for the Cowboys, and they upset the Redskins.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he played, so he upset the – but – But that becomes, it's legendary because it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but it was also Thanksgiving Day, and nobody knew who the guy was, and he throws for over 300 yards in a quarter and a half.
I know. You know, other quarterbacks have done it at other times, but you can't. You've already won, right? So you can't win, and that wouldn't win. That wouldn't win anyway.
I'm gonna tell you,
it's too far back. It's too far. I don't want to go
it
that
is
far
too
back.
Too far back.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
I appreciate you. Have a great rest of this Thanksgiving weekend. Take care, Dennis. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. One of the other things, and I guess there's going to be some kind of contract dispute with Jim Nantz and CBS because Buck, Aikman, and Romo all make a lot more money than Jim Nantz, a lot more. So I don't know who Jim Nantz's agent is, but I'm sure he's going to feel it. He wants a big raise. But here's my point, and Jim is very, very good. And I know Jim personally, and he's very good. Tried to hire him one time, and the dope of a news director I had then at Channel 3 said he wasn't good enough for us. Okay, thanks. But he's very good. I think Joe Buck's very good. I think Aikman's good. I think Romo still gets a little too chatty, but he's very good. But in the end, and this is my question, do we watch games because of the announcers? Think about this. We're going to get to it after I take care of some things here. Do we watch games because of the announcers? And who do you think the best ones are? 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin on what is a leading into a big game. They're all big games, but there's at some point, because the games are running out, at some point, you're going to have to win one of these games that people don't think you're supposed to win. Could Monday be the miracle? I'm not ready to say that Seattle's going to win the game because their defense is brutal. So we'll continue to talk about that. Do you really think, and if you were the GM, what would you do? 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin. WIP Sports Time is now 8:40, and there's never been a better time to join the fun at Borgata Sports. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 money line wager on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Just use the bonus code WIP100 when you sign up and make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Now, if you're ready for the same excitement that you've come to expect from the legendary MGM Resort in Atlantic City, then you're ready for Borgata Sports. I miss the Borgata on Saturdays, and they still are close to my heart, and I still check with those guys, and there's still great things going on there. Discover innovative parlay selection tools, boosted odds, specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app today or go to BorgataSports.com. Use the bonus code WIP100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on any pro football team to score a touchdown. '94 WIP, Eagles on Monday against Seattle. Another one of those must wins, but the division's so bad, but their schedule is so tough compared to the others. The fact that the Eagles are in third, well, they're not in third place yet. They're in second place. Redskins are in first place. If the Giants beat the Bengals, which you think that could happen, and you think that will happen, then the Eagles will be in third place, unless they win on Monday, and then they'd be back in first place in a terrible division. In the NFL, the NFC East is 6 wins could win the division. As crazy and as sick as that is, 6 wins could win the division. But one of the things we're doing this morning is the most hated or despised athlete. And Deion Sanders is one of the guys at the top of that list. And then he jumped into the Carson Wentz situation. On Pardon My Take.
Yeah, it's Pardon My Take.
Part of, and where's that broadcast?
Is I think it's Barstool Sports.
Oh, Barstool Sports. Okay. And they roll some things out there once in a while. But Deion's become a real jerk. Actually, not that he wasn't a jerk before, but he's just, he's doubled down on that now because you, as a good football player, you got to give him sometimes a little bit of a pass. But he's not playing anymore. But he jumped into the Carson Wentz thing on Pardon My Take with Barstool Sports. Listen to this jerk. Gee, thanks for your input in this, Deion. But the thing that people don't recognize, hey, if Jalen Hurts was in his second year, you'd say, okay, and he's got more of the plays down. He's had a full camp. He's had mini camps. He's had all those things. But that's not the case right now. That's the difference. The playbook would be very limited. So you'd be running a lot of the same plays, which the other team would recognize. There's so many things to consider. But that's our question today. The most hated or despised to win the $100 gift certificate from DeBruno Brothers. Also, the most memorable sporting event that you can remember on Thanksgiving. Both of those into the same thing. By the way, I heard it before we came on the Best of the Morning Show. Angelo Gattaldi gets a little crazy and overboard with this In-N-Out burger. I had it when the Eagles were out there for a week in California. They went from Seattle to play the Rams. That was the Rams game. That was the game in 2017 where Carson got hurt and then and they clinched the division and went on to the Super Bowl that year. But there was a truck outside with In-N-Out burgers. The only time I've had them. And a burger is a burger. I hate to break the news to Angelo. Shake Shack's is good. Five Guys, I know, is as good. You know, when you eat a burger and you have a cheese on it and all, they put all that stuff, they're all the same. And they're all good, but they're all the same. This nonsense, all the In-N-Out burger is all, I mean, it's just the greatest thing in the world. Stop. Please. I'm so tired of hearing about the In-N-Out stinking burger. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Chuck's up.
Yeah, you've had me on ice for 4 weeks.
I didn't have you on ice. You called too late. You think you got a specified appointment. This is not a doctor's office where you get an appointment. And just remember, in a doctor's office,
Dr. Eskin.
I am a doctor.
You got all things covered, buddy.
But the thing in the doctor's office, usually your appointment is late anyway.
It is late, and I'm late for that. Okay, so let's get going. Now you're going to cut me short again. Let's get to the burgers. You're entirely correct. You know, they put layers of stuff on top of it, and bacon and cheese and mayonnaise and Russian dressing. It's no longer a burger, right? So we agree on that.
And they're all good.
Yeah, they're all good.
Five Guys, yeah. Shake Shack, whatever. They're all good.
Yeah. They're all good, and most of them are very unhealthy. Here's the problem.
Yes, that too.
I think when you play to win. Whenever you do anything, you try to put yourself in the best position, like to win. We agree on that.
Well, it's easy to say, but not easy to do.
No, okay, but here's what we've got, and I don't think this is this point's made at times underscored succinctly enough. The Eagles are inverted. They have the two best rushers in football on average yards per carry. 5.74 is a crazy for Sanders. And Scott is almost there. He's 4.82.
Okay. Boston Scott's a backup running back. All right. So can we?
Well, he's not as good as
LeGarrette Blount was, and he's not as good as Jay Ajayi was.
You know, if you had an opening statement, you have to complete it. I'd like to have just 60 seconds complete.
This is my show, Chuck.
It's your show.
But I'm just challenging that because I don't care what the computer says. Well, how many yards? Let me ask you a question. You gave me your numbers. I don't need all this other nonsense. Okay.
Well, wait a minute.
You gave me your numbers. What did Miles Sanders average per carry in the second half?
I didn't break it down by five games. I mean, I have.
Well,
in the second half of last game. I know he's under his yearly average.
Well, yeah, and you know why? Because Carson Wentz isn't playing well. So obviously they changed their defense to stop the run and say, Carson, you're going to have to beat us. And that changed the run pass.
Right.
Last Monday night's game, L.A. and Tampa, did you see the run pass ratio there?
Well, I can give you the run pass ratio.
Well, the run pass ratio was a joke. It was like 50 passes to 20 runs.
Wait a minute. Let's go with your point. If you put the point out there, let's underscore your point. Here we go. In the two wins, they only have three. In the two wins, the best run pass ratio is in their two wins. Here we go. Cowboys 27 versus 22. Hold on here. Then they beat 49ers 28 pass attempts, 22 rushes. I could go on, all right?
And you know why that happened, Chuck? Because take that computer, and if you're on the top floor, if you're on the top floor of your home, please throw it out the window. Because the reality is, no, Chuck, no, this is the reality of sports, Chuck. It's situational stuff. And when you have a lead, you run the 49ers, when they won Super Bowls, had, I think, 1 or 2,000-yard rushers, but they had a 50-50 run-pass ratio. You know why? Because they always led in the fourth quarter and ran the football. Against the Cowboys, you don't have to pass to win. Against most teams, you have to score points to win.
That's not a valid point, we just said. That's not a valid point, and it's got nothing to do with the computer. The Eagles are doing this. I'm just reading it back. This isn't my computer. So when Carson throws the ball 44 times and we run it 18, given the stats I told you on our two top running backs leading the league, yes or no?
Okay, and how many of those games where he threw it 44 times were they trailing by multiple points?
Where does it say, respectfully, that I answer your question, but you always...
Okay, Chuck, here's the thing. But you just keep on rolling out this numbers garbage. It's garbage, Chuck. Total garbage. Because you got to take the situation of the game. And you don't take the situation of the game. You just roll out your computer and roll out your numbers and give me all those damn stats. And I'm so tired of stats. I want situations of the game, which enters into what they do.
You don't know how to use stats. You don't know what to do with them. That's why you're tired of them. You fear stats.
I don't fear them at all. I don't fear them at all because that's all we use in sports, but we're overusing the stats now. What was the situation in those games when the Eagles ran more or ran close to 50-50? Did they have a lead or were they trailing by two touchdowns?
I gave you the two games.
Were they trailing by two touchdowns like they have been in many of these games?
I'm going to break it down by whether or not they trail by two touchdowns, not each game. Come on. For the season, it's disproportionate. And by the way, in the Ravens game you mentioned, okay, they threw 40 times. They only ran 13. They averaged 10.8 yards per carry. What do you say about that?
I said that when you're down two touchdowns, the other team is going to defend the pass better than they defend the run. That's what I say about that.
So when you
give me those stats, you take the situation of the game out of play. They trailed against the Ravens, and they had to pass to score to catch up.
My final question is this. Can you please listen to this question? Okay, fair enough. My final question, and I'll get out of your hair. If your success running season to date, very slow I'm saying this, is better than passing, as it is in the Eagles' case, why would you not go with your best play, since it's better than Carson Wentz's passing average, okay? Why would you not go with what's
Because the
better?
Other teams know. It's like quarterbacks that really aren't good throwers. The teams defend the run and say, you know what? I want you to pass the football. And they'll give you all the underneath stuff, which the Eagles get a lot of that. You give you all the underneath stuff, so you'll pass it because you can't move it as well when you run the football. They did at the beginning of the game, Chuck, and then they didn't when Cleveland adjusted in the second half. Miles Sanders is a stud, but in today's game, and you couldn't last week because
it's a different element.
Well, and Carson Wentz is bad, but when you fall behind, the way you you really have to catch up is to pass the football.
No, that's not true.
Okay. They've had too many games where they've fallen behind in against Pittsburgh. They've fallen behind against the Ravens. And I'm so tired of run-pass ratio when I see two good teams.
But you know why?
Are the Rams and the Bucks good teams?
You don't understand.
Are the Rams and the Bucks good teams? Are the Rams and the Bucks good teams?
They're good teams. They're not great
teams. And they threw 50 times to 20 runs.
You can cite an example all you want. I
look at a lot of examples.
They don't have the 32nd-ranked quarterback. Put that
Tom Brady's not playing that great this year. He still threw 50 times.
Listen, you had Wentz as a top 10. How about if I told you stop at 25?
But because of the quarterback, they've fallen behind, so they've got to lean on the quarterback to come back. Hey, Chuck, it's always your pleasure, Chuck, but I'm tired of numbers. I'm tired of numbers.
It's the business we're in, Howard. It's the business we're in. Come on, buddy.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
All right, have a great weekend. Chuck and his numbers. 94 WIP. WIP Sports Time is now 8:57, and if you're in the restaurant, the hospitality, or casino business, you got to listen up. You need to talk to my friends at PDQ Signature Systems. Yes, you do. In this new era of food service, it's more important than ever to have all the solutions available to take your dine-in services outside with curbside pickup, contactless delivery, custom online ordering, and mobile tablets that are actually designed for rugged restaurant use. Everything you need for success, including the best POS system in the marketplace. And what is that? That's PDQ. And that's what PDQ offers. PDQ POS. It's the fastest POS. It's the easiest POS. And it's the only POS you will ever need. Whether you have a single location restaurant or have thousands of locations, PDQ will help you sell more and save more. Joe Flynn, great guy, and his team, terrific people and good people. Yeah, great guys too. PDQ and ladies have been helping businesses just like yours for over 30 years. Trust me, if you want the best, trust PDQ POS. That's PDQPOS.com, and tell them that King sent you. 94 WIP. By the way, this run-pass nonsense, yeah, if it works, then fine. But there's times that Carson checks out of the run, and the reason he does it, because he sees the defense, and it's not set up for that play. There's different situations. What do you think? They just want to pass the football? No, they got to. In today's NFL, in many cases, you got to score points, and you don't score as many by running the football. And they ran it last week to start the series, and then they fumble. And then Cleveland adjusted the second half. All right, let's go back. Let's go back to the phones. And we're going to Jim. Jim, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how you feeling, man? You haven't talked about how your health is.
I'm great. I feel great right now. I'm lucky. I had mild symptoms. Nonetheless, I tested positive, but
yeah.
I was sluggish. I was achy. I was tired. At first, mm-hmm. I had an upset stomach. I wasn't hungry. I lost 7 pounds in 4 days, and lost my sense of smell. That's it.
Ooh,
for 3 days.
That's no good.
Then it came back, but I feel great, and I'm lucky. But I've heard some horror stories. People got to pay attention to these guidelines because they still don't take it seriously enough, and that's a problem.
I got my first loved one with it, so thank God she's young, healthy, and 75% of the way there. She's about, I think, 12 days into it. So some kind of stats she gave me the other day she was looking up, and she's 75% of staying asymptomatic. So thank God.
Well, I had symptoms, but weren't bad ones. They weren't bad.
Yeah, Howard, you ain't a young person anymore, Howard. We both know that.
Yeah, but I was in good shape. Being in good shape helps, trust me.
Agreed. You're not in the shape of a 35-year-old, though, brother. You know that.
Well, some 35-year-olds I am.
Not a healthy one. There you go. All right, brother. So I'm going to get into just a minor stat. You're going to like this one, though, because your favorite coordinator used to talk about it all the time. And my favorite coordinator might have been the best of it at all times. So let me get into it. You can probably guess who I'm talking about with the coordinator.
Jim Johnson?
No, I'm a big Jim Johnson fan, but I'm a buddy lunatic with coordinator-wise. I know he's no head coach, Howard. I know it. Let's not even go there. And your guy, Andy Reid, has as much to do with defense as my guy, Buddy Ryan, had to do with offense. So we both know their coordinators. But anyway, let me get into the one. It's a turnover thing, Howard. What I want to tell you just real quick, once that.
Yeah, turnovers.
The top five
that's a
teams
big
in turnovers, part. Howard, who lead the league in turnovers. Guess who they are, Howard? The top five teams who lead the league in takeaways are who? The people who dial up the blitz in the top 10. That's why Martz, I will bet, I don't know this, has never been in the top 15, I'll say. Takeaway defenses.
Talking about Schwartz?
I'm sorry. So, who did I say? I said, yeah, I'm going to say Schwartz, yeah.
You what'd said I say? Martz, I think.
I don't know what I said. That's what I'm talking about. My buddy Jim Schwartz, my namesake.
He's blitzed more because there's guys on the defensive line that haven't gotten it done, so you're going to have to blitz to get to the
agreed, yes.
But it is, regardless of how it happens, turnovers, and that's another thing.
You know,
when you turn the ball over, you don't have the ball as much, and then you fall behind. How many times have the Eagles turned the ball over and it's turned into points?
Yeah,
and
no
that's
doubt.
That's a problem. So
there are huge momentum things, Howard. There's no doubt about it. It's always been, and I know you used to profess turnover battle because I know it's up close to like 80% of the time, right?
Yep. You are up there with a good record if you're up among the leaders in plus minus in turnovers. No question.
Yeah, I know. I know it's close to 80% usually almost every year. If you win the turnover battle, you win the game.
Yep.
But it's not 100, but 80 is way high. So it's definitely something to pay attention to. And that's what I'm doing, Howard. I'm going after Schwartz because Schwartz, like you just said, imagine being this guy. What's our guy named? Cox. He looks as dominating as anybody out there sometimes. And this guy won't blitz the A-gap for you to help out you, your stats, your career, your paycheck, your championship possibilities.
I think
he does
Fletcher,
nothing for this guy.
I don't think Fletcher Cox has had the year that people expect out of him. He's got to be better.
Now, he's
had some
Howard.
Good games. I know, but whatever the case may be, I think he's smarter than we are. I'm talking about Jim Schwartz.
Howard, if you gave him a test for a football test and asked him a bunch of freaking 100 questions, he's going to get more right than me and you.
Well,
but the common sense of football, Howard, doesn't get by us, though.
But here's the thing that I think Jim Schwartz recognizes.
Yeah.
Their secondary, other than Darius Slay, is, if I say average, I'm doing him a favor, right?
Yeah.
So you want to keep as many people out there in coverage. And this defensive line was supposed to get pressure without a blitz. When you signed Hargrave, Malik Jackson last year,
and they're
not giving you anything. So
I don't buy into that, Howard. You rarely get sacks from freaking interior linemen unless you help them out.
Well,
I don't buy into that.
But Derek Barnett is a defensive end. He's played. He plays hard, but sometimes he just doesn't get it done.
Yeah.
So Brandon Graham is the best guy on that defensive line. It's not even close.
Most hated guy. Yeah, my most hated guy. Howard, you're going to love this because I'm going back with it. And any punk who brings a weapon to any fight is nothing but a punk. And that is ML Carr brought a freaking knife to a freaking fight.
Most people don't even remember ML Carr, but
bum.
I do.
A true bum.
I don't know that he would be the most despised, and that's not a good situation, but there's got to be ones better than that. Hey, Jim, have a great weekend. Take care. There was a guy on that wanted to defend Chuck. I don't know how he could do that because it's about situations. I didn't even bring up turnovers. When you turn the ball over, it doesn't matter. Then you fall behind. That's one of the reasons. Doug, you're on WIP.
Hi, Howard. Great show.
Thank you.
and I'm glad you're feeling much better.
Oh, I feel great, yeah.
Howard, might do my most hated and get into my Sixers point?
Go ahead.
Chipper Jones.
Why would you? I like Chipper Jones.
No, I didn't mind Chipper. I'm just saying from the national perspective. I mean, he even named his own daughter Shay.
Well, so what? It's just that Chipper Jones is a nice guy and a hell of a player. Now, you can be a hell of a player and be a creep and a despised guy. And Chipper Jones would not even be on my radar in that area. Not even on my radar.
And in terms of a sporting event, now they obviously weren't players, but it was more of a tradition.
That's right. You already gave the one. What's your Sixers point?
The Sixers point was that I think the Sixers are definitely going the right direction. I mean, obviously it's too early to tell, but having Doc Rivers and now Morey and freeing up the salary cap room with Horford and Richardson. So my question to you, Howard, is: would you either stay packed and see how the season progresses? Would you make a trade, or would you go after another free agent?
Well, they're signing all these guys to 1-year contract. They don't have that much money to be able to sign a free agent. The free agents, whatever good ones may still be out there, they don't have the money to be able to do that. Would you make a trade? Yeah, if it's available. But the camp's starting so quickly. I would suspect there'll be another trade. But I don't think it will be anything major. I want to get rid of Tobias Harris, but that would be would be a miracle.
I do too.
That would be a miracle. Yeah.
And Howard, from the national, because we're very lucky to have incredible local sportscasters here. But to your point earlier, my favorite national.
First of all, the first
Kevin
question
Harlan.
Is: do you listen? Do you listen to a game because of the broadcasters? On TV.
No, but if I happen to be listening to Kevin Harlan, I'll certainly listen for quite a bit because I really enjoy what he does.
Yeah, but you want to watch the game. Kevin Harlan's terrific. So Kevin Harlan's your guy? Kevin Harlan is very, very, very good.
Yes, he's my favorite national guy, Howard.
Okay. You know what? That's pretty good. I didn't think Kevin, but Kevin Harlan, and he's a terrific guy and can do multiple sports. He is excellent. You are correct. But you listen to the game and you enjoy it because of the broadcaster. But if it's a game that you want to watch, I don't know that you turn it off. Like, I'll say I did. With ESPN, when they had Booger McFarlane and all those other clowns on Monday Night Football, I couldn't take it. I couldn't watch the game because of him. And I don't even remember who else was on there. It was a joke. It was so bad that I couldn't take it. So I turned off a game because of the announcers. But I
yes,
appreciate...
and I've done that too, Howard. There's just certain sportscasters, they just ruin the moment.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate the call. Let's go to have a great weekend. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, so we've seen many quarterbacks, and Tom Brady, I'm not comparing Jalen Hurts to Tom Brady, but we've seen many quarterbacks, whether it's third round, sixth round, that didn't have training camp and were not considered ready, or they were just backups, then they had to come in, whether it was because the starter got injured or his bench, and we've seen him perform well. I'm not saying Jalen Hurts will or will not perform
Give me some examples of a player in his first year.
Okay, so the Broncos
player in his first year with no mini camps, very little training camp. Give me a guy that's coming.
Okay, so last year the Broncos benched their quarterback, and the guy that came in performed really well at the end of the season. But all I'm saying is we have no evidence, yes or no, whether he'll play. What we do know, the evidence we know, is that they're going absolutely nowhere with Carson Wentz, and they're probably going to lose 3 of the next 4 games at minimum. Therefore, if you're going to lose anyway, and we know Carson Wentz is the worst statistical quarterback in the NFL, in a worst-case scenario, it can't get any worse. But for that slight chance that he can perform well, or even if he doesn't perform well, but the team around him gets galvanized, or there's a spark, or there's a different energy or chemistry, at least you're giving yourself that opportunity. With Carson Wentz, we're going nowhere, okay? This guy will probably never win a Super Bowl, let alone a playoff game. So give yourself that opportunity to see what Jalen Hurts can be. You already drafted him. You have nothing to lose.
Okay, so in other words, if Jalen Hurts comes in and gets buried,
it's not going to change his career. You're either a good quarterback or you're not. If he's going to be affected by
that's the whole.
Then you're
point.
Not a good quarterback. You think Ben Roethlisberger or Drew Brees, if they didn't perform well their first game, they wouldn't have been good quarterbacks the rest of the career?
Yeah, but usually, it's changed now in the NFL, where stud quarterbacks can come in their first year. Tua, everybody got all excited about Tua. They benched him last week. They benched him because, have you seen his numbers? Oh, you know, Tua, oh, blah, blah, blah. His numbers suck. His numbers suck. And if it wasn't for Miami's defense, they wouldn't win. So they came
right, but
in
but we don't know what Jalen Hurts is. That's the point. We know what Carson Wentz is, which is lose
yeah,
every
but
week.
They know what Jalen Hurts
so
is.
How do we know that they're making the right, that they know what they're talking about? No, they're the same guys that paid Carson Wentz over $100 million when he should never have been paid in
but
the first place.
The other thing with Jalen Hurts is he doesn't run the Eagles offense because he doesn't take the first team snaps because that's Carson Wentz because he's playing. Now if
but
you
we don't
now,
know how he's going to perform. Well, that's the point. We don't know. What we do know is they're not winning with Carson Wentz, but at least with Hurts, there's still a small possibility that either he plays well or the team around him plays better. At least you give yourself that chance. You
if Carson Wentz doesn't put points up on the board in the next couple of weeks, or maybe even this week, because Seattle's defense is terrible. I would start Jalen Hurts on the road. I know there's no fans, but there's less pressure when you're on the road and you know you're not at home. And I would say if Carson Wentz does not score points against Seattle, there will be serious, serious, serious thoughts of putting Jalen Hurts in. The problem with that is you have a short week. That's the other problem. So you can't get him up to speed. Now, I know he's in the quarterback room, and I know he sees all the plays, and I know but you get out there and run him. It's getting out there and practicing them, which is a big part of it. But I would say if Carson Wentz doesn't have a good offensive game this week, I think there's a real chance in the next couple of weeks that Hurts will be in there. But you still got to give yourself – you have no chance of winning the division with Jalen Hurts.
How do you know
opinion.
That? Well, you don't have
because,
to
have because I just know that he's not gotten enough practice to be able to do that. However,
but that doesn't mean he won't perform well. We've seen him complete
the playbook's going to be the playbook's going to be so small because he hasn't run the plays.
Right, but we did see him complete two passes. Now, obviously, it's only two passes, okay. But the fact is, he did complete those. So, therefore, okay. How can we say that we don't know for certain that he can't throw for 250 yards in a game
and
control
point,
the turnovers? He doesn't have turnovers. That can change a whole dynamic of not even the fact that he has to throw over 300 yards, but even if, let's just say, he's respectable, he throws for, let's just say, 250 yards, but he doesn't have any turnovers, you can be winning those games, especially if the defense plays better. And what I'm saying is Nick Foles has a lot less talent than Jalen Hurts, and Nick Foles is a career backup. Before he went on that run, nobody in the world thought he was capable of making the Super Bowl, let alone winning the Super Bowl. So we've seen crazier things happen. I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is going to win every game, but
Nick
Foles has
been. But Nick Foles has played. This is a difference. If Carson Wentz doesn't play well, first of all, they're not going anywhere this year anyway. All right.
That's my point. So at least give yourself that opportunity.
Okay, but
at least give yourself that chance.
Okay, and
we don't have the evidence to say 100% for a fact that he won't play well. We don't know. Therefore, give yourself that opportunity.
If Carson doesn't play well in the next couple of weeks, and maybe even this week, I think you're going to see Jalen Hurts. And then you'll see, but at that point, you know it's over. I still think, I've seen it before. It's in there somewhere, but he obviously lacks confidence that Carson Wentz is not getting it done. And that is that really is a problem. All right, Mike, quickly, did you have a Thanksgiving favorite moment?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was the Dolphins that, you know, with Doug Peterson with the snap. I don't know if you know that game where they recovered the ball in the end zone. And it was a blocked field goal, and they ended up winning. It was the Dolphins.
Gee, I don't even remember that.
That was Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even remember. But I appreciate the call, Mike. Take care. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Announcers. And just, you know, just as an aside, do you listen to the game because of the announcers, and who do you think is the best? And the Eagles, yeah, I'm just not ready. I'm not ready to say that Carson Wentz can't do it. Remember, he's going to have to be here next year. So if you go to Jalen Hurts, is that the end? And then you just stuck with him next year. And if you were the Eagles general manager, what moves would you make? Not now, because it's very little. But what moves would you make possibly at the end of the year? And that is, that's what you got to, the Eagles got to do something. Oh, my God, they got to do something. All right, 215-592-9494. I'm Howard Eskin on a Thanksgiving Saturday. Mark Lawrence coming up at 9:40 today to take a look at the weekend football, what's left in college football. And the pros have kind of moved it around, too. So we'll take a look at that. WIP Sports Time is now 9:20. And I always love talking about the Bruno Brothers. I love it because they do a terrific job. I stopped in the store when I picked up my catered, and they'll deliver, but I picked up my catered Thanksgiving dinner at the Bruno Brothers, the location at 1730 Chestnut Street. I went crazy. I wanted to eat. I just wanted to eat for the rest of the day. But my Thanksgiving meal, and let me explain to you, they catered my Thanksgiving meal, which they had. They reached capacity on the people that got their Thanksgiving meals catered. But they cater business meals, small functions. That's how I got to know about them. PNC had a function, and they sent out meals to everybody. They'll deliver. And the food is sensational. My Thanksgiving meal, turkey brajoule. It was different. It's white meat turkey wrapped around dark meat turkey and sausage. But you can have it prepare it any way you want. The cauliflower au gratin. The dessert was great. The crab dip was great. The mashed potatoes, the sweet potato mashed potatoes, the stuffing was, it was sensational. I got to thank the catering manager, Amy, Bill at the Bruno Brothers, all those people. They did a great job. So if you want good food, remember there's other holidays coming up. And there's other things that you may want to have. You say, you know, I don't want to prepare the meals. I want my meal catered. And the Bruno Brothers will do that. Now, if you just want to go in there and get some really great cheeses and meats and food and pastries and cakes, and it's crazy. Now, they have they're the best. They're so good. They really are good. All right, they have five locations. And they got a new one coming up. We'll tell you about it, I'm sure, in the coming month or so. Their locations, the Italian Market, Rittenhouse Square is the one that I stopped in, but I've stopped in a few of them, Washington Square, Comcast, and Ardmore Farmers Market. If you're looking to send a taste of Philly to families, friends, business clients for the holidays, go to debruno.com and choose from a huge selection and wow gifts from an array of prices. That's debruno.com. You can check it all out. I'm telling you, you will love it. Happy holidays, and we're still in the holiday season. From the Bruno Brothers family to yours, and enjoy it. 94 WIP. By the way, turnovers are so big that the top three teams plus minus in turnovers are Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and Kansas City. Now, we know Kansas City's got a great quarterback, and they have a terrific team. But the plus minus in turnovers is a big part of it. Pittsburgh, don't you think that's helped them? And Tennessee's a good team, but they're not a great team, and their record is better because of the turnovers. That's really what it comes down to. That's really important. People have to understand that is really important. Now, we got to get some better most despised people in sports to win that $100 gift certificate from the Bruno Brothers. And I want to try to get some in this segment. And then I'll barrel through it at the end. First up is John. John, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. Good day, Howard. Yep. I saw your beard, man. You shaved it off. I just saw it yesterday on the internet there, and you look like your Santa Claus.
Yeah. Hey, when I had the beard, yeah, when I was walking through the pandemic, I just let the beard grow. But yeah, I'm back to normal in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, that was a great thing you did, raising all that money. You should be proud of yourself.
Yeah, you know, it was for two good causes. It was for the Brandywine SPCA and Phil Abundance. And now I'm raising money. I'm making picks on on my website, and the money goes to I'm asking people for donations, and the money goes to the Brandywine SPCA. So that's good. It's good to try to help people.
I want to talk about my boy Carson Wentz. I mean, this kid, I remember 2017, that drive he took the Eagles down the field against the Rams, and he threw that. He hurt himself. He gets up and he throws that pass with a wobbly leg. And this guy is a gamer, man. This guy is
fourth
a
down. Yeah, but what's happened to that guy?
But he's been pounded. He's been pounded by his offensive line. They're leaving him in a pocket. Let him roll out.
You can say that, but then you cut down half the field. You can't roll out all the time, but you can roll out. There's no question.
Yeah,
but you cut down half the field because you don't want him throwing across the field.
He took that cheap shot. They gave him a concussion. And this kid's beat up. Maybe he should sit out a couple games just to clear his head and then come back.
If he doesn't have a good game on Monday, there will be more serious thought. There's no question.
And I think Frank Reich leaving has really set him back. Because I think Frank Reich was a really good coach for him, better than Peterson, and I think that affected him. And look how good Frank Reich's doing now in Indianapolis.
Yeah, Frank Reich's a good coach, but you always lose good coaches, and quarterbacks recover or still play well when another coach comes in. Now, you can't just put all the responsibility on the coach. The player's got to get it done, and he's got to make good passes, and he's got to make good decisions, and those things have to happen too.
Look what Wentz had to work with this last year. He had all these young players, these new players, and he led the Eagles into the playoffs. I think that was terrific. He's a leader. He just has to reset.
Yeah, they're wide receivers. They're wide receivers, and they need some wide receivers. I mean, Fulgham was good for a while, but maybe he's coming back to reality.
Yeah.
Greg Ward's solid.
Rager's going to be good.
Well, he better be.
With Justin Jefferson
playing the way he is, he better be.
Yeah.
All right. Did you have a Thanksgiving moment, John?
Yeah, actually, I have two things. I just remember this because of the snow. I love watching football in the snow, and it was in Dallas, too. It's the Leon Lett game. That's the one thing I remember about Thanksgiving was him picking up the football, but also it snowed that day, and it was like really weird. It was like down in Texas.
Somebody else mentioned that too.
Yeah, but
I don't remember.
Think it was,
that was a memorable moment.
Yeah, it was. It was the snow, not so much Leon Lett. He was a nincompoop. Leon Lett.
Yeah.
He picks up the ball.
He didn't know the rule. Don't touch the football. He didn't, and once he touches it, it's a free ball. Yeah,
but he ran into his own end zone. Remember?
Oh, yeah. I forgot that part of it.
Yeah, he ran into his own end zone, so that's why I remember
that. Right. Yeah, right.
And then number two is Sidney Crosby, the most hated in Philly. He hates Philadelphia, and when he goes out on the ice.
You know, people hate him for the wrong reason, because he's a good player.
Oh, he's a great player.
Yeah, right.
But he just hates Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're right.
He said it. He said it himself on the interview. Howard, I enjoy you every Saturday, and you're a treasure here.
Well, thank you, and have a great rest of the Thanksgiving weekend. Let's go to Al. Al, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Living a dream. I wanted to talk about Carson Wentz for a second. If you look at statistics with Peyton Manning on his fifth year in the league. He led the league in interceptions. He was a terrible quarterback, and he turned out to be pretty good. The bottom line with Carson Wentz is talent. It's amazing how good Donovan McNabb got when Terrell Owens came to town, once you have a real legitimate number one receiver. And he's been running for his life. You know, it's just been a real tough year. And you don't want to put Hurts in, because if he's got to run for his life, it's going to really destroy him and his early development.
Well, he's got to play better. He needs better people around him. There's multiple reasons, but he's got to play better. He's got to play better when he's got.
Yeah, it's so easy to blame the quarterback, because they get all the blame when they lose, and they get all the glory when they win.
Well, it's the quarterback and the head coach.
Yeah.
And the head coach is speaking today at 10:30. If he says anything that is newsworthy, I'll put it up on Twitter. But who is your most hated?
Well, I don't like to use the word hate it, but I say I don't like LeBron James.
LeBron James,
because of what he's,
LeBron James is so easy to dislike. He's so easy to dislike. You know, he is such, he's so insecure. He tweets about everything, and then the networks put it up. He was tweeting about a football game, and then he was tweeting about the golf. I think that he tweeted during the golf tournament. I don't think because he wouldn't get as much attention. I forget, and then ESPN runs it. They run his tweets, and then they run it during the game. I don't want to see LeBron James tweets about other sports. I don't want to see it.
Like, you know,
he just puts things up there because he knows the networks are gonna post his tweet. I've had enough.
I played some good basketball. I used to travel with the Harlem Globetrotters on the Generals and all. But if LeBron was such a great, a great person to play with, why aren't people flocking to play with him? He's got to change locations every couple of years in order to go to teams that have players because nobody really wants to play with him.
But he's a great player, but easy to despise. Al, I'm going to put you in the mix for the DeBruno brothers. You haven't won before, right?
No, he has not.
Okay. I'm going to put you in the mix. Stay on hold, and I'll get your information. All right, let's go to Dan. Dan, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, I hope you had a very good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, actually, I did. I mean, it's different this year, and I understand it, but I'm thankful that I'm healthy again and got through the COVID situation, and that I'm in good shape, and I'm healthy, that my kids are doing great. And, you know, there's so many, I'm thankful that my kids are doing great. You got to think about the things to be thankful for, and I know there's people out there that have had tragedies with the over 260,000 people
right.
that died from this. I had a good one, but like many people, it was different. So what's going on?
They're very different. Not a good different.
Yeah.
No. But a couple things. I think the Eagles situation really lays at the feet of Doug. And I really do think, yes, you can't take responsibility away from the players, but ultimately it's the coach's responsibility to get them to play the way they need to play. You know, you look at Tomlin
with
the Steelers.
But when Carson doesn't hit an open receiver, or he makes the wrong read, or the receiver makes the wrong read, or the offensive line doesn't protect well enough, you know, you can't just put it on the coach because he didn't get dumb overnight.
Agreed.
You know,
but
and
still,
coaches make mistakes.
His play calling has not been, you know, anything to really write home about.
How do you know that? How do you know that if Carson doesn't make the right play or doesn't make a good pass?
Well, you think he's checking out of plays?
I know Carson? He's checked out of some. Well, okay, you run the ball in the first series against Cleveland last week.
Right.
And then Miles Sanders fumbles. Now, Miles Sanders is terrific. Then he fumbles the football on the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
You know, so is that the coach's fault?
No, it's not.
I think that changed the whole complexion of the game.
There's no question. Is a crushing turnover.
Okay, Dan, I want to get as many as I can. Who is your most despised athlete?
Oh, I think I can't believe this one hasn't been mentioned yet, but let's go to the 2009 World Series MVP, Alex Rodriguez.
You know what? Wow, that's really good. Dan, I'm going to put you in the mix. Alex Rodriguez is a creep. He's a creep, a fraud. He's a phony. He's everything that's wrong. The fact that ESPN has him on baseball is a disgrace. But ESPN has had other bad people on the games. Not that kind of disgrace, but he's a disgrace. Hold on, Dan. I'm going to put you in the mix. Aroyd is a good one. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll take some more after we talk to Mark Lawrence about the weekend football. WIP, I'm Howard Eskin. WIP Sports Time is now 9:38. There's never been a better time to join the fun at Borgata Sports. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 money line wager on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Just use bonus code WIP100 when you sign up and make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. If you're ready for the same excitement that you've come to expect from the great and legendary MGM Resort in Atlantic City, then you're ready for Borgata Sports. great place. I miss those guys. We almost miss them, but times are different. But I know in talking to them, they're doing great things down there. Discover innovative parlay selection tools, boosted odds, specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app today, easy enough to do, or go to BorgataSports.com and use bonus code, this is important, WIP100. To win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on any pro football team to score a touchdown. Yeah, amazingly enough, the Eagles are still still alive. What a bad division. But that helps the Eagles, and I guess anybody else in that division. But let's take a look at the weekend football. And to do that, as we do every week with Mark Lawrence, we will do so. Mark, how are you this Thanksgiving weekend?
I'm doing terrific, Howard. Like you, I hope you gobbled until you wobbled on Thanksgiving dinner day.
Yeah, I had two Thanksgiving dinners because there was so much in leftovers from a company in Philadelphia here called the Bruno Brothers that I had it two nights in a row, and it was good the second night, too. So it was all
awesome.
Good. It was all good. All right, let's take a look at the college. Even though there's like 18 or so games that have been canceled, postponed, it's just the whole thing's a mess. I already know who the top four teams are going to be for the college playoff. It's going to be Alabama because of the arrogance of Nick Saban. He'd whine too much. They won't lose anyway. I mean, how are they going to lose to some of the teams they're playing? Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, even though they're not going to have enough games, and Notre Dame. Those are the four teams they want in there, and those are the four teams that are going to be in there. So I don't even know why we're playing the rest of this. But anyway.
Let me say this, Howard, real quick here before I get to the games. The ironic thing is this, is that the first college football playoff poll came out that past week, and those were the top four ranked teams. And never in the history of the college football poll rankings have the initial top four teams made it to the playoff.
Yeah, so it's different, but they want it for the money. Those are the marquee teams, because Florida won't get as much excitement. Georgia won't get as much excitement. I don't know if they're in the mix. Cincinnati has a really good season, but they're not going to. And they don't. But nobody's playing enough competition now. But they want the marquee teams because it's all about money for colleges, for pros. That's why, one way or another, it doesn't matter if Clemson or Notre Dame are going to lose because they're going to play each other. It doesn't matter. They're still going to be in it. And then they'll be in the playoff after they play in their own conference playoff. It's a different year anyway, but now they're really looking to kind of get some money. But anyway, all right, let's take a look at the games. Is there anything left that you like?
Well, it's like Thanksgiving leftovers with all this COVID for sure. But what I'm going to look at are two teams that are from solid handicaps. It's a thing that I call double-deuce offenses, and what they are underdogs who run the ball for 200 yards a game and pass the ball for 200 yards a game. And when they can do that, they have well-balanced offenses, and they can fall behind, and they don't need to rely on just one plan of attack. And both of these teams right now are in position to enhance their bowl chances. They need these games really desperately. The first is going to be Georgia State. They're pick or minus one right now as we speak against Georgia Southern. Georgia State is, if you take a look, they've got double revenge in the game. They're 6-0 to the spread in the series when they have double revenge. And you've got Georgia Southern coming in here. When they go into revenge on the road, they're 3-9 to the spread. So I think it's a nice spot for Georgia State, well-balanced offense, to knock down Georgia Southern in the Sun Belt today.
All right, who else do you like?
The guy's going to be North Texas. They're taking 3 points against UTSA, Texas San Antonio, coming into the game. They run the ball for 257 and throw it for 302. Really, really nice offense. They're a mission team also. Last year they had a losing season after having been bowling each of the previous 3 years, and these teams really come hard as dogs with revenge, especially in situations like this. I like North Texas plus the 3 to knock off Texas San Antonio.
Is there a line on Rutgers-Purdue? I see no line on it. And if there isn't, what's the reason?
Well, if there isn't, I'm not sure as I'm speaking. I'm looking as I'm speaking. But
yeah.
If there isn't, the reason would be, obviously, the COVID situation
yeah.
that has been all around the Purdue football program. It's really been kind of devastating. And unfortunately, I'd love to see that happen because it was a feature game in our newsletter, Purdue. We liked them pretty good in the newsletter. Mm-hmm. And Rutgers played so close last week, overtime to Michigan. I think there'd be a big letdown spot for them.
All right. All right. Let's take a look at the pros. Who do you like?
Good look at the two dogs that were in the playoffs last year, whose backs are to the playoff wall this year. And I think that right now they got to pick things up and put it in forward gear if they're going to make the playoffs again this year. First is going to be New England, taking 1.5 against Arizona. And what you've got in New England here is their great record. When they have a losing record and they're an underdog, they're 11-2 to the spread in this particular role coming into today. Arizona struggled in this series against New England. They're just 1-6 to the spread. And, in fact, the last 8 games, Arizona has been road favorite against AFC teams. They've covered the spread only one time. New England's playing some pretty good football despite their record here. They've outgained 7 of their 10 opponents this year. I think New England wins this contest.
Yeah, why are they struggled if that's the case? It's just,
What's that Cam Newton on and off switch? You never know what you're going to get from him.
All right, who else do you like?
The guy's San Francisco taking 6.5 against the Rams. San Francisco also, throughout all their troubles and all their injuries, and they've been really beat up this year. They've outgained 7 of their 10 opponents this season as well. They have not thrown in the towel, and they're getting 2 running backs, Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman back, and Deebo Samuel's back in the offense. I think that's going to be a big boost spark to the offense here. And you got the Rams coming off that Monday night football game. They've not been good at home against rested opponents in situations like that, or the rested opponents in this situation. They've only covered 1 of the last 5 times. I think San Francisco plus the 6.5 takes the Rams right down to the wire.
You know what? I kind of like the Jets, even though they suck. It's a revenge game. It was a 24-0 loss. Do you have any interest in the Jets?
You know, they're what I call an ugly pig, okay? And they're ugly. And they're the type of a team that nobody wants. But whenever these NFL football teams open this season up with 4 consecutive losses, then from that point forward, when they dress up as home underdogs, coming off a loss, taking on a division opponent, they're in real nice roles. And that humiliating revenge, 24-0. This is Adam Gase back at his old team again here. Sam Darnold back in the lineup for the Jets. I think the Jets probably put their best game of the season together against the Dolphins.
All right, we got to look at the Eagles. They're getting 5.5. Who do you like?
Well, we're on opposite sides in the game here, and it's not so much that I'm on Seattle, as it's more of an anti-Eagle play right now,
right,
for the situation and the condition that they're in. You look inside the series here, the last 6 times they played, Seattle's won and covered all 6 games. Seattle has dominated the NFC East. They're 16-3 straight up into the number with 7 straight covers in a row against the NFC East. It's this contention of mine that you can't back the Eagles until they show that they're worth backing here. They have to step up and play a good football game. Now, will this be it? It could be. But until they do at such a point in time, I just can't back them. I got to wait for them to play a good football game.
So you don't like a side, but it's hard to lay 5.5.
But I don't like the Eagles here either. So if I had to put a gun to my head, I'd play Seattle in the football game.
Okay.
I don't think it's a real strong handicap at all.
No.
But you got one team that's really, both teams obviously have need in the football game here with the Eagles clinging to that first place spot in the NFC East.
All right. If people have interest in Mark's services, 800-321-7777 on the internet at playbook.com. Mark, have a great rest of this Thanksgiving weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week, and hopefully there'll be some games, and the NFL will never cancel games, but college will. But the NFL, they're just going to keep on. They're going to barrel. As long as you have 22 players that can dress, they'll just put 11 on one side and 11 on the other and just play the games. That's all they care about.
One quick interesting note before I get out of here. RG3 is going to play for Baltimore in that game on Tuesday.
Right.
And I looked at my database. He's faced Pittsburgh one time. Remember the last game of the season last year when he knocked off Pittsburgh, the last game of the season when he made the start for Baltimore? So they're going to feel okay, pretty confident with RG3 at the helm there, and they're going to be laying an exorbitant amount of points because of Noah Jackson here. I think Baltimore's got to be where they'll look in the game.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mark. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Be good. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Let's kind of crank it out, and we got to do it quickly. Your most despised, we won't say hated, athlete. Joe, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I always admired you. I've been listening to you for years. First time caller. And I just want to say you're one of the smartest guys in the sportscasting business.
You're absolutely correct. All right. And so who is your most despised?
Ty Domi.
Ty Domi is a good one. Ty Domi is a really good one. But I don't think it's going to beat who we have right now. But that's a really good one. All right, let's go to, is that Donnie? Donnie, you're on WIP.
Good morning. Happy to hear that you're feeling better.
I feel great.
Over the COVID myself.
Yeah,
I wanted to, just real quick, just something you said that really got me thinking. If I was the GM right now, you had to take an honest look at the Eagles. If you're Howie, even heading into this year, we weren't great at receiver. We were old at offensive line. We didn't get better at our secondary.
So what are you doing here?
So what I'm saying is we had a lot to improve on heading into this season, and we didn't really do it. The one sure thing we thought we had was a quarterback. Now that's kind of a question.
Okay, so hey, listen, I got to get – if you want to try to enter this contest, I got to get your most despised.
Hey, Ron.
We already got it. All right, let's go to Phil. Phil, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, I'm going to nominate that clown Orlando Scandrick.
You know what? He's pretty good, but I think A-Rod right now is leading it. But that's a good shot. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WIP.
How about Barry Bond?
Barry would have been a good one. Wow, oh my gosh, I'd still have to take A-Rod over Barry Bonds.
Okay,
because at least Barry Bonds didn't cheat his whole career. A-Rod cheated his whole career. And was arrogant about it. Barry Bonds just never talked to anybody. But that's a good shot. Try it again next week. Jim, I appreciate it, but I'm running out of time. Thanks, man. Thanks for the call. All right, so I think we decided I wanted to take LeBron because he's LeBron and he's just so insecure and he's got a tweet because he knows everybody will run his tweets. And there's just something so easy to dislike about him. But A-Rod is the winner. So, Dan, you're the winner of the $100 gift certificate to DeBruno Brothers. You can check out all their good stuff by going to one of their five stores or checking them out online at DeBruno.com. Great food. I had a great catered Thanksgiving meal, and whatever you get from them, you will enjoy. One note, a friend of mine who I was on a call with him the other night, we had a bunch of guys, Andy Mosseri, is fighting another battle, and that's cancer. And it seems to be, he seems to be fighting it with a lot of heart and a lot of gumption and, just tough. And the attitude's a big thing, and he's going to try to beat cancer. And knowing Andy, he's going to do it. So I wanted to give a shout out to Andy Mosseri, big Sixers fan, lost a touch with reality. In all those years that the Sixers tried to lose, but a fan's a fan. But good luck, Andy, and I know you're going to overcome this because you're such a fighter. A little bit of a pain in the ass sometimes, but such a fighter. All right, everybody have a great weekend, the rest of this holiday weekend. Enjoy it. Eagles on Monday night. Merrill, Mike, I'll be there with them. It's a home game. And they'll be out there. I'm hoping it's not raining. Oh, boy, I'm hoping it's not raining. But I think the Eagles have a chance. I just don't know why. I think they have a chance, but Carson's got to play well, or otherwise there may be some changes. Doug Peterson is speaking this morning. If there's anything significant to come out of it, I will certainly pass it along on Twitter. Again, everybody have a great, great weekend. Glenn and Ray are next. WIP Sports Time is now 9:57. And if you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, I'm telling you to listen. You need to talk to my friends at PDQ Signature Systems. In this new era of food service, it's more important than ever to have all the solutions available to take your dine-in services outside with curbside pickup, contactless delivery, custom online ordering, and mobile tablets that are actually designed for rugged restaurant use. Everything that you need for success, including the best POS system in the marketplace, and that's what PDQ offers. PDQ POS is the fastest POS, it's the easiest POS, and it's the only POS you will ever need. Whether you have a single location restaurant or you have thousands of locations, PDQ, they're going to help you sell more and they're going to help you save more. Joe Flynn, Can't be a better guy, and his team at PDQ have been helping businesses just like yours for over 30 years. Trust me. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. That's PDQPOS.com and tell them the King sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.